This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. A busy day in West Virginia yesterday as the state took the presidential campaign spotlight with one stop by Republican Donald Trump and multiple appearances by Democrat Bernie Sanders. We'll report on both candidates this morning. First up, Donald Trump calls himself the coal candidate. At least that's what he told a crowd of thousands at a rally in Charleston last night. The New York billionaire is the only Republican left in the presidential race, making him the de facto nominee. But as Ashton Mara reports, his stances on coal had him pivoting toward the November general election.
And I'll tell you what, folks, you heard me the other night. I wasn't thinking even about you. I'm thinking about the miners all over this country. We're going to put the miners back to work. We're going to put the miners back to work.
Now that Donald Trump is the assumed Republican nominee for president, he has started focusing on November's general election and the likely Democratic nominee, Hillary Clinton. And he started that focus in coal country.
And how about Hillary Clinton? I was watching her 3 or 4 weeks ago. See, I'm going to put the miners back to work, and she said, I'm going to put the miners and the mines out of business. And then she comes over and she tried to explain her statement. That's a tough one to explain, wouldn't you say?
Trump is referring to a comment Clinton made during an Ohio town hall in March, a comment she again apologized for during her trip to West Virginia earlier this week. But the message was clear. Trump is positioning himself as the coal candidate, and the miners are listening.
If anything, he's going to put coal back on the map.
25-year-old Derek Angel traveled from Boone County to see Trump Thursday evening. Angel is a miner who says the decline of the industry is killing his community.
Our county, our state, everything's been on a decline for the past 5 or 6 years. And it's pushing everybody out of the state of West Virginia. So it kind of gives people a sense of hope to even be a coal miner.
Debbie Mudd teared up as she explained how much it pains her to receive an unemployment check each month, but she lost her job when Arch Coal went bankrupt earlier this year. She's supporting Trump because she says West Virginia has nowhere else to turn.
I don't think any of West Virginia has any candidate or anyone in the political ring, I should say, that we can trust that will do anything for us.
Trump will turn the industry around, Mudd says. Trump says it too.
They didn't have ridiculous regulations that put you out of business. They didn't have these ridiculous rules and regulations that make it impossible for you to compete. So we're going to take that all off the table, folks, and you better do well and you better compete and make me proud of you, okay? You'll be proud of me. That make me proud of you.
But Thursday's rally wasn't just about the coal industry. It was a celebration of sorts, one of Trump's first major events since his win in Indiana Tuesday that led the two other Republican candidates still vying for the nomination to drop out of the race. It's more fun to have an opponent, Trump told the crowd. And then he said this.
And now what I want you to do is save your vote. You know, you don't have to vote anymore. Save your vote for the general election, okay? Forget this one. The primary's gone. Save your vote for the general election in November.
Trump told his supporters not to vote in the May primary, not once, but twice during his 50-minute speech, sending the exact opposite message of the several speakers who warmed up the crowd before Trump took the stage. Those speakers, which included Trump's campaign co-chair for West Virginia, Mike Stewart, urged Trump supporters to choose delegates to the Republican National Convention committed to the candidate on the May 10th ballot. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
Yesterday marked the first time a presidential candidate has visited McDowell County in southern West Virginia since John F. Kennedy took his campaign there. 6 decades later, Democratic presidential hopeful Bernie Sanders began his day-long tour of the state with a roundtable discussion at a food bank in one of the poorest counties in the nation. Glennis Board was there and brings us this report.
Bernie Sanders made stops throughout West Virginia today. He started the day with a roundtable discussion in McDowell County at a food bank. Sanders chose 5 fishes and 2 loaves in Kimball, West Virginia for his campaign stop, a food pantry in the poorest county of West Virginia, one of the poorest counties in the country. The senator began his visit by saying that he wasn't here to rally, but instead to talk about poverty.
Physiology of poverty is the stress that your body deals with every day. when you worry about whether the lights stay on and whether you have enough money to put gas in the car to get to work. And if you can't put gas in the car to get to work, you lose your job. And what happens when you lose your job to the rest of your life? People on the edge every single day. Now, people who have money don't understand what that is about. But when you don't have any money, you're fighting for survival every day, and that takes a huge toll on your health.
Stacks of food were moved aside to make room for over 250 people from around the area who attended the event. It isn't the first time Sanders has been to Southern West Virginia. He came 3 years ago to visit with native Sabrina Schrader, who had been to Washington, D.C. to testify before Congress about growing up in impoverished conditions. Schrader, who is now running for House of Delegates, sat on a small stage next to Sanders, along with other panelists, including an attorney, Sam Petzonk, and an elementary school teacher, Tanya Spinella. Topics discussed over the hour-and-a-half visit covered everything from crime, addiction, and health care to economics.
You're not going to get a handle on the crime problem unless you get a handle on the drug problem. All right? You're not going to get a handle on the drug problem, I think, unless we deal with some economic issues and we deal with the despair and the hopelessness that a lot of people are feeling.
Sanders called for stories of struggle and solutions from the audience. And when pressed for some of his own solutions, he said people will have to stand together just as they have had to in the past.
That's nothing new. That's the way change in America always takes place. It is the history of the trade union movement. It is the history of the United Coal Miners Workers Union. People stood together and fought back. It's the history of the civil rights movement. It's the history of the women's movement, the history of the gay movement, whatever movements there are. The only way change takes place, people come together, stand up and fight back and say that the status quo is not acceptable. And I think that's the moment we're in right now.
Sanders moved on from McDowell to rallies in Charleston and then Morgantown. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board in Kimball.
And at his final stop in the University City, Sanders' focus on student loan debt was well received by the many college students in the crowd. Jesse Wright reports.
As the crowd of several thousand people made its way into the Morgantown Event Center Thursday night, it was striking how wide a cross-section of society was represented. Young and old, black and white, dreadlocked and clean-cut. One man was holding a Republicans for Bernie sign. Megan Collins' glitter-filled sign read, Bernie in, BS out. She says Sanders' message resonates with her on a very personal level.
For me, Bernie's not a politician, he's a person. And to me, that's what could best represent America. We don't need someone who's feeding us what we need to hear. We need someone who has their opinion, feels that they're representing the people, and wants to listen to the people.
Collins was with a group of social work students who stood behind Sanders during his speech. They, like many of the young people in the crowd, responded enthusiastically when Sanders talked about taxing Wall Street to make college tuition free in the U.S.
It seems to me now in 2016 that it is absolutely appropriate that we impose a tax on Wall Street speculation. And that tax would more than pay for making public colleges and universities tuition-free and substantially lowering student debt.
Sanders touched on many of his other campaign trail standbys. He talked about closing America's income gap, the urgent need to deal with climate change, and getting help for those who have lost jobs during coal's decline. He also spent time talking about America's opioid epidemic and the need to treat addiction as a mental health issue, not as a criminal one. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jesse Wright in Morgantown.
We turn now to state politics, where the five candidates vying for one seat on the West Virginia Supreme Court of Appeals have only 4 days left in their campaigns. Now, Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump told his audience twice during his remarks last night not to bother to vote in the primary election and to save their votes for the November general election. Trump later took to Twitter to thank West Virginians, and that included a reminder to vote in the primary. This primary election election is the only time voters here get to decide judicial officers, from magistrates to Supreme Court justices. Now nonpartisan elections, these offices will not be on the ballot in November. So this morning we continue our profiles of candidates for the Supreme Court. Bill Wooten is a former legislator who held office for 26 years and has been a practicing attorney for almost 45. And now he wants to add the title of Supreme Court Justice to his name. Liz McCormick brings us this profile.
Bill Wooten's resume is a long one. Raised in Beckley, he graduated from Marshall University in 1966 and got his law degree from West Virginia University in 1971. Then Wooten became a clerk for a judge on the United States Circuit Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit.
After that, I worked briefly in Charleston as an assistant attorney general, went back to Beckley to work as a prosecutor, and got some real good trial experience in that office.
After almost 3 years, Wooten resigned from his job as prosecutor to run for the West Virginia State Legislature.
I served in the legislature a total of 26 years, ended up being majority leader at one time in the House of Delegates, and I served as chairman of the Judiciary Committee in the legislature for 10 years. My service began with the 1976 election, and I was last in the legislature in 2010.
Wooten has also spent years in private practice, where his work continues today. But it was during his time as a lawmaker that Wooten realized being a judge was his dream.
A friend of mine in the legislature once told me I acted more like a judge than a legislator. I was chairman of a committee, and in that role, you pretty well try to achieve some measure of fairness, let people have their say in favor of a measure or opposed to the measure. And, you know, she said that to me and it kind of stuck with me. And I thought, well, that's really what I've always wanted to do.
Wooten is one of two candidates using the public campaign financing system to fund his judicial race. The program is only available to Supreme Court candidates who meet various requirements to receive the $500,000 in taxpayer funding. While some of his competitors are adamantly against the system, Wooten defends it.
I think most members of the public appreciate the reason why the legislature enacted the statute. It's intended to lessen the impact of enormous sums of outside money. And I think most members of the public appreciate that. I think if you have a case that goes before the Supreme Court, you'll feel better about it if you're aware that no judge was elected with overwhelming financial contribution from your opponent.
Wooten fought for his belief and his participation in the program when another Supreme Court candidate, Beth Walker, sued his campaign.
I believe that what she did in my case was a, quote, frivolous lawsuit. I think it was a tactical effort to impede my campaign.
In the lawsuit, Walker's campaign argued Wooten failed to meet certain filing deadlines and the State Election Commission erred in awarding him public money. Wooten argues the basis of her complaint was a minor technical violation.
There's a statute that has certain deadlines in it, and every deadline in that law I met. The administrative agency charged with enforcing the law on their own decided to put some additional deadlines in regulation, not in the law. And shame on me, I did not carefully study the regulations.
Wooten says the regulations require candidates to file a formal request for the money within 2 business days of being certified by the State Election Commission as eligible for the program. He filed his on the 3rd day. After the lawsuit against his campaign and another against fellow candidate Brent Benjamin over the regulations, Wooten expects the SEC will revisit the program guidelines. And he says he's also been attacked for another part of the judicial election process, partisanship. This is the first time a judicial election has been nonpartisan in West Virginia, and the first time all judicial officers will be elected during the May 10th primary. Wooten says he has mixed feelings about the change. He's concerned a candidate could be elected with less than 50% of the vote because of the vote being split between 5 candidates.
I don't know what the legislature's intent was. I suspect that was an unintended consequence. I think the public is best served by persons elected by a majority of the voters.
And in recent weeks, negative ads have appeared on television stations across the state claiming Wooten and fellow Supreme Court candidate Daryl McGraw are part of a, quote, old boy network, end quote, in state government. A news release from the Wooten campaign says the ads were funded by more than $500,000 of outside money provided by a special interest group. And the end of each TV ad calling Wooten out says it's paid for by the Republican State Leadership Committee, Judicial Fairness Initiative. Wooten responded to the negative ads with an ad of his own, attacking the special interest group.
The very people that wanted this election to be nonpartisan now are injecting partisanship into the election.
With primary day on May 10th fast approaching, Wooten is hopeful he'll win the seat. He says he's the best choice for the Supreme Court because public service has been a major part of his life.
I think that the experiences and the abilities that I have, such as they may be, ideally qualify me to be a justice on the Supreme Court of Appeals. I think it's the culmination of the sum total of my life's work.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Chuck Anzalevich. I'm Beth Voorhees.